So ordinarily, this would be the introduction part, and full disclosure, we don't have a name yet.
Okay.
So
is this the first podcast?
This is the inaugural.
Oh man,
you are the inaugural guest.
Well, thank you.
Welcome to the inauguration.
Yeah, you are very welcome, and we would have bought you some sort of token gift, but I only have pizza rolls outside.
It's all right. I'll still give you a high five.
Well, thank you.
Stefan, every time I see you, it's a gift. So it's okay.
Oh, there my goodness.
There you go. And
shameless
don't feel bad.
Pandering.
Stefan was planning to also give me an award for my life contributions, but just didn't get around to shopping or?
No, I didn't get around to typing it up on my phone. That's kind of what happened. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't even print it out, really.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, in lieu of an actual title of our podcast, I will just get started. My name is Ed Glazer. I am the general manager at WDBM FM, the student station. This is a podcast which probably won't be on FM, but that means that you can listen to it from the luxury of your own pod-catching device. Mm-hmm. I am joined, as always, even this very first time, by my sidekick, or am I his sidekick? It's
We're both sidekicks to each other.
Yeah, co-sidekick, Stefan Fletcher.
Thank you.
Welcome to the podcast with no name.
Thank you, Ed. I'm very grateful to be on the unnamed podcast. Suggestions always welcome. I am a fourth-year PhD student in the Higher Adult and Lifelong Education Program and the former president of the Council of Graduate Students, the grad student government.
And you, did you mention that you also have a law degree from this institution?
I do have a law degree from this fine institution, the MSU College of Law. Mm-hmm. And I am originally not from New Jersey, as someone did say once. That was slightly shocking.
Old Jersey.
I'm from Old Jersey. Yes, yeah. The original Jersey. I am from St. Albans, England. So made the trip over the pond 10 years ago. This is my 10th year here in America.
Hey, 10th year anniversary.
Yeah, thank you. Cool. Yeah, yeah.
And am I correct that if you get a third degree in MBA, then you'll have collected all three for the kit, and then they will automatically give you some sort of a medical degree? It's like buy three, get one free?
There is no Kroger sale on degrees, no.
Okay, I don't know where I read that.
Higher education doesn't do fire sales on degrees.
I don't know about that.
For-profit ones may.
Oh, wow.
That's true. That's true. Hey, you just heard another voice. That is our inaugural guest for our inaugural podcast.
I'm James Conwell. I'm the president of the Associated Students of Michigan State University, which is the student government here at Michigan State. I'm currently a fourth-year senior studying human biology and history of philosophy and the sociology of science. Believe it or not, those are only two majors out of the Lyman-Briggs College.
Sounds like six.
I know. It gives me something to talk about. I'm very boring, so I need as many words as possible to say about myself. And so that gives me several just right there.
Yeah. People always say, if you're having trouble meeting people at parties, talk about philosophy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that works. That must be what I do.
That's why you're not invited back to many parties.
Well, that's fine, but you invited me here, so I guess I have something of value.
It's true. It's a party for your ears. It's the unnamed podcast. So our first segment is we're going to talk about Go Green stuff, the things going on in Spartan news, and each of us were tasked with bringing an element of something going on in Spartan news. Who would like to go first?
Why don't we let our guest go first?
If he would like to, yeah.
Yeah, would you as our guest like to go first?
Mm-hmm. Sure, I would love to. The big thing that I've been working on in the past few weeks is the It's on Us program, which is the White House's sexual assault prevention program. So for those of you who don't know, the president announced this on the 19th of September.
And that's the president of the United States.
Right, President Obama. Yeah. And the idea behind it is that it's a plan to end sexual assault on college campuses. So there are several things that go along with this. Mm-hmm. One part is the pledge, which reads, I pledge to recognize that non-consensual sex is sexual assault, to identify situations in which sexual assault may occur, to intervene in situations where consent has not or cannot be given, and to create an environment in which sexual assault is unacceptable and survivors are supported. And so in addition to taking that pledge, college campuses and specifically student leaders are tasked with finding a way to address sexual assault on the campus that works for their institution. So I went to Washington, D.C. in May, and I was invited to the White House to talk about early stages of the It's on Us program. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've been tasked with doing different programming around MSU that would involve how do we combat sexual assault. So last night, we had a meeting of the CORS and COPS groups, which are the Council of Racial and Ethnic Students and Council of Progressive Students over at ASMSU, to discuss what does sexual assault look like in those individual populations, and how do we break into those groups of individuals to really help people be better bystanders and to work on reporting when sexual assault does occur. I felt that was important to start with those groups of people and use them as a focus group before we move forward with any big plans, because very often they represent populations that are overlooked at Michigan State, but are very important and growing. And so what we're doing with this now is we're formulating a plan, taking what we heard last night and deciding how to go forward. And actually a week from yesterday, so on October 8th, we will have a meeting with the major governing groups, and we'll invite the CORS and COPS leaders back, and we're going to talk about how we're going to move forward.
And can you at this point kind of talk about any of the findings or things that you learned?
Definitely. I think the most important thing we got out of last night was we need to do a better job of addressing sexual assault and educating students on what actually is sexual assault. More importantly, I think the biggest thing that came out of last night was we need to do a better job of being bystanders and intervening when the situation, when someone needs help. And with that came the international students have very different views of sex and sexual assault than American students do. And there's a lot of secrecy, or it feels very private to those groups of individuals. Especially the ones from Asian countries. And so it was interesting to hear from the president of the International Student Organization or Association that those groups need to be addressed, and they have to be addressed differently than we address American students. And so it was positive hearing that, because I don't think we've had that conversation before, and we'll have now a chance to start breaking into those populations.
And James, one question for you is given your position, and we were going to get to this later, but just want to follow up on what you said. It is an important topic. What do you hear from students just generally on campus, given, your representation of undergraduate students at MSU? What do you hear from them in terms of this issue? Do they share their concerns with you? Are they, happy with the university and the way that the university's handled it? Obviously, in the spring, you saw the Department of Education investigate MSU among many universities in terms of handling of some of these complaints. So,
and that's the U.S. Department of Ed?
That is, yes. The U.S. Department of Education.
Right. Great question. Thank you for asking. I think the general consensus is students are confused about exactly what sexual assault is and in situations when to intervene. So I think it's messaging that we're going, and education that we're going to have to put out that says, not only is sexual assault not okay, but here's how you identify the risk factors behind it. And here's how you intervene. So whether that be going up to a friend who may be about to harm another student unknowingly and just saying, hey, maybe not tonight. That's a great example of how someone can be a positive bystander. But beyond that, right now, the university is updating their guidelines and policies regarding sexual harassment and sexual assault and relationship violence. We have student representation on there. Greg Jackson, who's ASMSU's Vice President for Finance and Operations, is on the Sexual Assault Task Force. And me, in my position, I'm the chair of the University Committee on Student Affairs. And I'm working with the Student Life Department to work on providing feedback and updating that policy to make sure it works for Michigan State. And so I think there's a general concern around education. There's a general concern on what can we do. But I think the messaging to let students know that this is an issue at Michigan State University. In fact, 1 in 4 college women will be sexually assaulted by the time that they're done with college, and 1 in 9 men will be sexually assaulted by the time they finish college. And so it's letting people know that this is a huge issue. This is massive. It affects nearly 1 in 4 people that you see walking down the street. And so how do you work and make sure that that doesn't happen to your friend or to someone you don't even know? And so it's education, it's updating that policy and making sure that information is available. And making sure it's on us to do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. really important things for the university. So thanks for doing that.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Thanks, James. I guess on my end, Ed, I have two stories, two brief nuggets of news. One I just saw today, and that obviously is, again, on a pretty heavy note for the institution, and that's the death of Morgan McGregor over the weekend, a 20-year-old, a student in the accounting program and a member of the Pi Beta Phi sorority. So I just wanted to say condolences to her family at this time. The second, on a much different note, relates to the Spotify survey that came out at the end of September. That was a pretty interesting look at the music habits of MSU students. And MSU ranked 24 on the list created by Spotify of the top four musical universities in America. Apparently, favorites of MSU students include Lana Del Rey, Kanye West, and Drake, two of the three which you can find booming out of my car in the morning.
Yeah.
I'll give you a hint.
Which two?
Well, it's Kanye West and Drake.
Yeah.
Lana Del Rey. I respect people who like Lana Del Rey. The least popular genres, jazz, classical, and jam band.
That's kind of unfortunate. Maybe just I live in the co-ops, but I love all those things.
Do you love, what is jam band? Can you explain to an uneducated British person like myself?
Sure. So it's...
an uneducated British person with a law degree and who's getting a doctorate.
Yeah, actually, I'll throw that caveat in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for that.
Those are disclaimers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like... never mind, I'll even make that joke. But so a jam band, it's a band that has a set... They have songs with lyrics that can last a certain amount of time. But however, they will continue to play their instruments, and sometimes the singer will continue singing lyrics or doing what's called scatting, which is making noises that sound like instruments with their voice.
Scoodly bop.
Exactly.
Hmm. I just scatted right there.
That was great.
You did. Thank you. It was pretty good.
Well, thank you.
A pretty famous example is the Grateful Dead.
Okay.
They're one of the more famous jam bands that were around in the 1960s. A pretty cool local one. I'm not sure if they consider themselves jam, but every time I've heard them, they've been pretty excellent. Is Desmond Jones. They do a lot of jam and continue to play. I guess they'd be more progressive, but they're an excellent band that's local and you should check out.
Okay.
I have an alternative definition.
Okay.
It's probably not as precise as yours.
Yes.
But it's a slightly more concise. It's a band that's too high to write an ending to their songs.
Okay.
So that's pretty much how I look at a jam band. I'm not a huge fan of jam bands. I certainly appreciate the talent and the skill involved, but I'm not casting aspersions about the members of Desmond Jones. I think it's pretty well documented that the Grateful Dead, they would fit that definition.
I mean, have you seen the Garcia Ties?
Yeah, it's obvious that there's something going on there.
Right.
Well, the last bit that I have from the survey, and James, this is a question for you, is Spotify were able to approximate when an MSU student wakes up and goes to sleep.
Yeah.
So a student typically wakes up at 9:45 a.m., according to the survey, and goes to bed at 12:45 a.m., where an average MSU student gets 9 hours more, 9 hours of sleep, 30 minutes more than the average at other schools. Do you find that to be an accurate? Do you find Spotify's survey to be accurate in terms of its finding there?
Well, I mean, you've been a student longer than me here, so
that's true. I can tell you, I never once have woken up at 9:45 a.m. on a school day. So, if we can get someone from Spotify over here to talk about methodology, I'd love to.
To answer that question, I don't really sleep that much, as much as that, but...
Are you a vampire?
I am pretty pale.
Good question.
I mean, you do look rather delicious over there.
Thank you.
It's taking an interesting turn on our inaugural show.
Well, yeah, it's the first day. We have to keep it interesting.
I'm going
to
protect my neck. And that's actually kind of a Wu-Tang reference also with the Spotify segment. Although, in the home audience, you can't see that, but may I disclose, James actually just threw out a W. Yeah.
That was lovely.
Yeah. That's how the show's going to go. We're going to talk about Drake and Wu-Tang, and don't forget to protect your neck. Vampires. I don't have that much to talk about. I thought it was interesting, but I don't know. It's just worth a mention. They're going to build some apartments on the old Michigan State Police site.
Okay.
Yes. Saw that note a little bit ago. And, you know, that's kind of, I was a little like, I feel like you could have done something cooler with that space. It's a huge chunk of land right next to the, Flower Pot neighborhood, right across from Breslin, effectively.
Okay. Yep. What would you have built?
Okay. So if it's not going to be a water park and it's not going to be a roller coaster, I would have liked to have seen some mixed use, maybe, some more, you know, a little bit of commercial mixed with, university or parking. Did I already say water slide?
You did say water park, not just water slide. I think you said water park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those would be my things. I'd like to see a little bit more retail stuff available right across from campus for, you know, just to make it a more enticing community. And also because I had to go buy sugar at a store the other day right after work, and I was like, I don't want to drive all the way to Kroger's. Not like it's that far, but anyway.
Yeah, it's just inconvenient.
Yeah, I really took advantage of
ShopRite.
Yeah, Goodrich's. Uh-huh. Yeah, so I do miss having something there. But I guess we just have to wait another year or two, and then they'll have a new grocery in there, right?
Yeah, there's a Fresh Thyme coming in from Arizona-based. Meyer has, I believe, an investment in it. But
interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, did you want to? I thought I heard someone say.
No, I just said okay.
Okay. Good. Good. I don't know, another note I caught on the newswire today. There's a $3 million grant from the U.S. Economic Development Administration to establish a new food processing and innovation center at the university. And so that's going to be, it's actually going to be developed, I guess, off campus in Okemos, in land that the university owns. But okay. It's, I'm quoting from the press release here, it's the equivalent of a pilot plant that any food processor can use to develop new products and production processes, says Chris Peterson, director of MSU's Product Center. And then they went on to say, well, Peterson couldn't divulge details of the client's products, so they're going to basically recruit commercial development to develop products here. It said he could provide a model that illustrates the center's benefits using traditional methods. A company developing a new soup line, mm-hmm. I feel like that's a clue right there, could spend nearly $160,000 testing concepts and processing, packaging, shelf life extension, and marketing. The center reduces these costs dramatically to under $19,000, Peterson said. So I guess my question there is, what's the benefit to MSU? And also, I think I tend towards the more progressive view of food production, and you know, I don't have a huge, I'm not necessarily in favor of commercial methods of food production. So I'm thinking maybe this is not necessarily the best thing in the world. I don't know. Thoughts?
I think it could. I mean, one thing obviously is it helps the university, university's research portfolio. That's one thing the institution's always concerned about for one. And two, obviously if and I don't know the specific plot of land out there, but if it is utilizing land that is otherwise under or not utilized, then it kind of aids the university in that way potentially with. Some leasing.
So. Yeah, it made it sound like they were going to rehab an existing building.
Okay.
So that's in there. But connect the idea for me that this innovation center is going to help the university's research portfolio.
Did you just mention the grant from the U.S. government?
Yeah.
Or the U.S. Economic Development Corporation?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is the grant going to the university?
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of where the university is always looking to diversify its research portfolio. Mm-hmm. That would be probably a good example of that.
Just to be able to say, look, we got $3 million from the U.S. economic.
And you can potentially say that you're partnering with businesses as well.
Right. Sure.
Which is another key interest, I'd say, of the institution are those private-public ventures and how MSU can play a role in kind of the commercial landscape with some products.
Right. And one question I had is, did they say they're going to be hiring individuals? And if so, did they say kind of what skill level they were looking for?
Yeah, I think in the press release, it said they were planning on having four people that would be involved in, I don't know, managing projects, or I can't remember exactly what it said.
Okay.
You can always ask Chris Peterson.
Sure. I mean, my view on it is if they're renovating an existing building that isn't being used, I think that's probably positive. But for me, as an undergraduate student representing undergraduate students at Michigan State, I always want there to be more opportunity for students when they graduate and they can stay local and add to the university community and the East Lansing community. And so if this is an opportunity for students, why do students get experience in this field or in this research, I think that's very positive. And I think if there's economic and job opportunities for students once they graduate to stay local and continue adding to this community, I think that's also positive too.
Yeah, possible. I'm going to remain the skeptic here. And I'm going to, because I'll tell you, so two things that came to mind when I read this. So first of all, it's a $3 million grant, and any federal grant, and I think most grants from any government agency are mandated by a federal organization, which shall remain nameless, mainly because I can't remember. NSF maybe says that automatically, I think 48% of the grant dollars goes to what amounts to kind of overhead for the university.
Okay. The overhead's a negotiated rate that's there, but the NSF is just one example of the federal funding agencies. I forget what the percentage is now off the top of my head, but...
But it was around 50%, right? Yeah. And I mean, you know, that's... I'm not saying that's not merited, but, you know, I think that's something that when you read an article in the paper, most folks probably aren't aware. Oh, yeah, sure, that's awesome. They get $3 million. Really, they only get probably about $1.5 million of that, which is still... a sizable amount of money, granted, but you know, I have participated in public-private partnerships at this university involving, you know, grant funding and also grants, also money coming from other state agencies going into, we'll just say going into the projects. And I have been, underwhelmed by how that, public-private partnership is leveraged. I think it's just really tough because, you know, we have norms of how we function here at the university, and commercial entities have a very different set of kind of norms and rules and really interests guiding their work, you know, and I don't think it's not that either one of them is evil, not that either one of them is, you know, selfish. I think it's just there's such different institutions to try and kind of smash them together. Mixed bag.
Okay.
Sure. But I guess my question for you is, would you rather there be no relationship than a one that we could work to make better?
You and I?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought we were still on the vampire thing. The benefits that you guys mentioned, you know, are likely, they're real, they're tangible. I would not say, no, MSU, don't take $3 million unless you can prove that, you know, you're really going to get some benefit out of it. I guess it's just the kind of thing that makes me wonder, you know, what is the more direct value to the students, you know? And it's not everything that the university engages with. Am I going to say something that's going to get me yelled at? Not everything that the university engages
with. Well, you're
with,
doing so right then.
Yeah. Has to be directly beneficial to the students, you know, because there are choices that I'm sure administration, the board of trustees make that benefit the institution at large that don't necessarily have a direct tangible result for the students, but it raises sort of the credibility or the, you know, the overall reputation of the university so that indirect benefits come to the students. But
well, I mean, in my eyes, I see both direct and indirect. I mean, I mentioned before the research and economic opportunities for students. And if we have something more local that is a Lansing or East Lansing based product coming out of here that's successful, then that will help young professionals and more opportunity come to this community, which is a direct benefit to students. And I mean, like you said, the indirect, if it raises the reputation of the university, that helps students find employment and helps them get into placement into graduate schools as well.
Well, I should also probably mention, James, are you graduating in the spring?
I am.
So if anybody is Chris Peterson or other people are listening, happen to listen to this podcast, consider that James is probably available as a PR. Yeah.
Willing. Are you willing?
No.
Oh, right. You're not? Okay.
All right. Well, all right.
I appreciate the
make a counter offer.
Yeah.
Make a counter offer, other guys, and
we'll could have a bidding war.
Negotiated position.
Yeah.
So we've taken about, I think about 20, 25 minutes for our quick 5-minute introduction of the news. So that's okay. That's
always the way it goes.
Yeah, we're just here to have fun. Should we begin segment 2, where we go an in-depth look at ASMSU? And this is where Stefan and I go back and forth and put you on the hot seat and ask you difficult questions.
That seat does automatically become hot. But James, very happy to talk to you about ASMSU today. And let's take a step back, because you've talked about some of the projects that you're working on. Mm-hmm. For the average person around campus, describe what ASMSU is. Describe what ASMSU does in very like simple kind of terms. What do you guys do?
Sure. So ASMSU stands for the Associated Students of Michigan State University. It's the largest student government in the country, and it was Michigan State's. It was formed by in 1964 by the major governing groups, which include Interfraternity Council, Panhellenic Council, Resident Halls Association, and the Student Housing Cooperative. Mm-hmm. So leaders from those groups met and discussed how to move forward. And so at the time, it was bicameral, so we had the Student Assembly and the Academic Assembly. And so jump forward to this past decade, and we went from a bicameral body to a unicameral, which is now known as the General Assembly. And we have an Office of the President, where we have 6 vice presidents, 1 president, and around 40 or 50 representatives to the General Assembly from different colleges, governing groups, as well as CORES and COPS groups, which are diversity groups on campus. So in addition to that, we have anywhere between 40 to 60 staff members, depending on the time of year. We also have 4 class councils for each year of undergraduate, or each credit level of undergraduates. So what do we do? So we have a lot of people, and we also have a $1.6 million budget. So what do we do with that money? We offer a number of services, which include free legal services. We actually partner with the Council of Graduate Students to provide those. So students have access to 3 lawyers. In fact, they're on retainer for every undergraduate student. We also offer free iClickers and Blue Books. We also offer a representation. I think that's our most important service we offer. So we offer representation in several ways. One is we have a third of the seats on university governance, which is the governing body below the Board of Trustees for Michigan State University.
What do they do?
So a lot of the academic policies, policies that affect students in the classroom, the sexual assault policy that's being revised, I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. All those go through the academic governance or university council at Michigan State University. And so we have a third of those seats, and we have a seat on every single committee that comes from there. So we have a hand in every single decision that's made at the university.
Yeah, and are those contributing, like, voting seats?
Yep.
Yep, okay.
Yep, and in fact, quorum cannot be met without us there.
Oh, okay.
So if you left, they couldn't
do it. Oh, yeah, you could pull some sweet moves with that. Is that it? Go ahead, sorry.
Moving on.
You're making me force my hand here.
No, sorry, yeah. Oh, wait, are you saying you're going to leave?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you keep, like, throwing all my tricks out, I might have to.
That is so meta.
Yeah.
Cool. Very cool, James.
Thank you. Thank you. And the other way we represent students is to the Capitol, both here in Lansing and at Washington, D.C. And so we regularly send students down to the Capitol to work on legislation that would affect students while they're in college. For example, the medical amnesty rule, or law, rather, where students, if they're underage, or actually anyone, if they're underage, and they have they are their friend, or they feel that they are unsafe, or they have consumed alcohol to an unsafe level, they will be able to call authorities to get medical attention to themselves or their friend at no legal penalty. They're immune from any legal repercussions, even if they did break the law by drinking underage. So that's something that we worked on for several years, and we managed to get it through actually in 2012. The Governor Snyder actually signed the law. In addition to our work down in Lansing, we also work in the federal level. So every year we have what's called Big Ten on the Hill through the Association of Big Ten Students, which is kind of funny because there are 14 Big Ten schools now. So with this arm, it happens in April of every year, and we go meet our legislators from our state. So, and we ask them about Pell Grants. We ask them about college funding. We ask them about student loan rates, things of those nature. Kieran Samra, who is my chief of staff and was the previous president of ASMSU, her and I traveled to Washington, D.C. for the National Campus Leadership Council conference, which was the largest collection of student body presidents in history. And this was in late May, early June. And we had a chance to go through a number of workshops, which included meeting people from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to talk about predatory practices from banks and Title IV financial aid disbursement on students and loan refinancing for students. And we also then got an opportunity to go to the White House, the Eisenhower Building at the White House, and talk about the It's on Us program, or the early stages of it. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, one thing I actually worked on after meeting a number of student leaders from around the country there was actually I wrote a letter to Federal Secretary of Education Arne Duncan regarding Title IV disbursement, which is financial aid disbursement for students on college campuses. And so Michigan State actually does not have a huge problem with banking institutions. But when we talk about different schools, in fact, the Oregon schools are a great example. Higher One actually charges upward of $500 a year for heavy use of your Title IV financial aid disbursement. Mm-hmm. And these are cards that are marketed with the school and are given to students for the means of paying for their education. And we're seeing them facing absorbent costs. And so working with different student groups, we managed to get over 30 student body presidents to sign on, representing over 1 million students. And we sent that letter out about a month ago now. Mm. And so that's a lot of the work we do at ASMSU.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, and that was certainly your efforts there. And you said, with your travel to Washington, D.C. and mm-hmm. your travels around, one question that I had for you going back to one piece you said earlier was in relation to the budget of the organization. You said $1.6 million. What are some of your largest costs there? Because to the average student, that probably seems like a lot of money. Where are most of your costs attributed to?
Definitely. The biggest parts of our costs are free legal services. So to have those lawyers there, it's very expensive. Further, we have a partnership with USA Today, which is called the Readership Program. And so you see the New York Times, you see the Detroit Free Press around campus. And those are all free to undergraduate students who are taxpaying. And in fact, one part I forgot to mention is that undergraduate students pay $18 a semester to be a part of ASMSU. And as a result, they have access to our services. Beyond those two big services, we have employment. And so we have, like I mentioned, anywhere from 40 to 60 student employees. And so we have amazing opportunity for students to learn and to grow in those positions. So we have director of public relations. We have director of human relations. We have director of IT. We have vice president positions, liaison for multicultural affairs. All these great opportunities for students to be in upper administrative level positions that may focus on their career and help them forward. We have a state liaison who goes with us to Washington, D.C. and lobbies. I mean, that's an excellent opportunity for that student. So those are some of the big ticket items we have in our budget. Beyond that, the General Assembly right now has just north of $100,000 in special projects. And so with that money, they're allowed to In fact, they're tasked with finding ways to benefit Michigan State University with that money, whether that be bringing someone to campus or whether that be working on a particular project. I mean, last year, a good example was Failure Lab, where we brought an event to campus where we had several speakers speak about their failures, and that was a real learning experience for a lot of undergraduate students at Michigan State. Or we had Mental Health Awareness Week, which brought light to a very serious issue here at Michigan State. And so those are the projects we work on regularly, and they change from year to year depending on the need of the university and the need of the students, more importantly.
Do you ever get pressure to reevaluate, especially like your big ticket expenses, like the legal representation and the readership program?
People have asked, that's a lot, or have commented saying that's a lot of money you spend on those services. But my response is always, they're vitally important to the undergraduate experience here at Michigan State University. The lawyers are there to stand up and protect the students, and we wouldn't have it any other way. And we always strive for our student body to be well-informed to make the best decisions possible. And so while those are expensive, that's the cost of providing those services. And in fact, last year, the students voted to continue their tax. And it's overwhelming, something that students want. And so it's our job as a student government to provide these services to students. Not only do they want them, but it helps them overwhelmingly.
How do you go about tracking the readership program in terms of the number of papers utilized? Because I think that's been a question that I've heard, is how do you track the usage and the mix of papers? And should it be more online, which is maybe where a lot of students consume their news, as opposed to print editions?
Definitely. Great question. So that's something we're working on. When I was a sophomore, it was my first year in the organization. We were tasked as representatives, if you lived in a residence hall, to go count the number of newspapers. I'm not sure that was the most effective way. So what we're doing now is we have a statistician on hire, and we're working with him, who is an actuary major, and we're working to determine statistical models to determine the number of papers that students use and what would be an effective use of our money in that area.
I love statistics. I just want to go on record as saying that I, Ed Glazer, love statistics.
I believe there's a t-shirt in the making.
I actually have a t-shirt that says correlation does not equal causation.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this.
Bring it.
Do you use statistics like a lamppost?
You mean for illumination rather than as a drunk would use it for
support?
Yeah, I'm more of an illumination statistics man.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
that's the positive way to use it.
Yeah, I knew what you were talking about. If that tells you anything,
that does tell me a lot of things.
I would say that if statistics was a person, I would feel attracted to that person.
Well, good. Mm-hmm. Glad to hear that.
That's very honest.
Thank you for not judging me.
So you're not going to shield your neck from them?
No. I'm all in statistics. When you're ready to meet, come get me. So that's interesting. I actually happened upon a readership program box yesterday and went to swipe my ID, because you're supposed to swipe your ID. And that's like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
No, that part doesn't have any function, as far as I can tell.
Where was it?
It was outside of the engineering building.
Okay, we're trying to fix those.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for letting me know.
Yeah. I'm probably not going to go around systematically checking them, but but I'll just, every time I do, I'll check.
All right, yeah, let me know.
Yeah, because I was sort of amused by that. I was like, I don't think it's working. And then I just pulled the handle and it opened.
Okay, yeah, we'll fix that. Thanks for giving me a heads up.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, that's what we do. We help each other.
That's right.
Tax funded organizations help each other.
We got to stick together.
That's right.
Yeah, Stefan's no longer a part of one.
I'm not taxing anyone myself personally now, unless I can. You could pay outside, actually.
I just thought you were a consultant. our humor is going to be so niche. Only ourselves are going to laugh at it. It's great.
That's fine.
Yep. James, talking about some of the projects that ASMSU has been working on, in the headlines over the last year, you've seen, if students have looked through the headlines, they've seen, I'd say, certain challenges presented, at least in the headlines. They've arguably seen on the one hand the questions about outreach. Mm-hmm. How can the organization do a better job with outreach? And I feel like it's a perpetual question, and it never gets fully answered, no matter what you do. But you also, after you were elected, talked, I believe, a little bit about that. How has that been going since you started? What have you specifically done to try and reach out to students more? Because obviously the goal is to try and get them more aware of what you all are wanting to do.
Definitely. Thank you for asking that.
You're very welcome. I couldn't resist.
That was the question that came up every interview I had, actually, after how are you going to reach more students? And the answer is engaging more students. So I think the idea of us having passive town halls where students are expected to show up, that's a thing in the past, and I don't think we can rely on that to be useful to engage a student body. I think it's our job to go out and actually interact with them and to communicate to the CORES and COPS groups that we work with, that tell your members about us, work with us. We want to have our name out there because we have all these services that are here for students and we want them to use them. So some of the things we've done, we've tried to be better about our advertising on social media. When do things come out? For example, last night when we met with those CORES and COPS groups, we had them go on their social media and say what ASMSU is doing with them in a partnership. So it's been more reaching out to student groups and student leaders on campus that I don't think we've traditionally worked with, and then starting to target individual student populations and starting to target students themselves on social media and saying, here's who we are, please come visit us at Student Services.
Do you think outreach matters?
Of course it does. We're a government. If we want to maintain that we're representative of the student body, we have to outreach and we have to get input from the students.
If you're truly representative, shouldn't you sleep later?
Well, I'm too busy representing the student body to sleep.
How many hours a day do you sleep?
5 to 7.
Yeah, you really should get more.
I should.
Yeah.
I'm busy, man. I'm applying to grad schools. I'm going to school.
I know, but if you don't have your health, you don't have anything.
Well, that's why I'm a vampire.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
That solves a lot of issues.
Problem solved.
It does.
And you're the sparkly kind, not the...
Dying the sun. Can you see my prostitutes?
Yeah.
You mentioned, we talked about outreach to students. I think the other side of the coin is trying to build relationships with administrators.
Mm-hmm.
That has been, I think, a subject of conversation as well, at least in the university media. How, again, since you took over, what's the relationship been like? What have you tried to do to build a relationship? Is that... and create that fine line probably between being an advocate to the administration and realizing you have to, in some instances, work with them while representing very firmly the student voice.
Right. Once again, great question. I think it's safe to say that ASMSU has a much better relationship with the university administration than it did 1 year ago. So what have we done at ASMSU to really address that? I think it's important to not only talk to individuals who are involved in administration, but to say, I want to work with you. We may not agree on everything, but I think it's important that ASMSU has gone forward. We're right now working on a bike share program, whereas it's working with university sustainability and MSU bikes to provide this service. And so instead of us having an independent way to go about this, which may not have been successful because to run something like a bike share program, you need to have more than just ASMSU on board. You have to have RAHS, you have to have bikes, you have to have sustainability. And so it's working with these groups to provide a service to students. We don't need to fight with administration anymore. We can work with them to provide this better services for students. They have resources that we don't necessarily have access to. And so it's working together to figure out how we can provide those. And yes, there are disagreements, but we can always try to move forward because our goals are ultimately similar, is to enhance the student experience at Michigan State University. But sometimes we just have to find a way to get there together as opposed to getting each of our own ways.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think a consistent challenge. Has there been particular areas, have you found resistance in particular areas where you want to move on a particular initiative, but the institutions come back and said, you know, sorry? I mean, have there been instances like that thus far?
Well, I think there was a period of time when I was first elected that I had the perception that I could do everything right away.
And everything.
I could accomplish all my goals right away.
You could build Ed's water park.
I could. I thought I could. And so it was a learning experience to see that you have to work together and find a solution that works for both.
Record heat this summer, you could have.
Could have. Well, we're going to get a record winter this again.
Okay. So, you can be an ice park.
Yeah. We could go skating.
Mm.
Rockefeller Plaza, here we come.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Mm. To put specifics on it, I think going back to bike share, we weren't totally sure of the university's opinion on bike share because there wasn't a lot of knowledge made available when I first came into office on it. And so one of the things I ran on was finding an answer to bike share and to Safe Ride. And when we started talking to the university about bike share, they had a very much different understanding of what that program was when we were considering going through the program with Zagster, which you guys may remember, which was the 40 bikes for $60,000 program. And so there was a lot of misunderstanding there. And so it was saying, okay, this program probably won't work in this form, but let's find a way that it does, because we both realize that there's a need for a bike share program on campus, but here's how we can do it.
Have you tussled with them at all on any issues?
Only bare knuckle boxing.
Ooh. You know what? I bet you Luann and Kay Simon can beat a man to death with her bare hands.
Oh, she can do the, just like Dallas Diamond Page, she can do the diamond cutter like no other.
Wow, a WCW reference. All of our retro wrestling fans, everyone. That was a pullback from 1999.
Yep, stuff got real.
Yeah, it did.
Oh, no, I was going to say we could pepper James with questions all day, but we should probably come to a close. And if you have one more, I don't want to make you sad.
I will go and cry myself to sleep. James, quick question for you before we conclude this part of things. State News editorial talked about the State News op-ed, I should say, talked about the student section at football games. And how do you keep students in that section for the full duration of the game? How do you make it, you know, no problem selling the tickets, it's actually making sure students show up. Obviously predominantly undergraduate students in that section. What do you hear, and how do you, if you were a consultant to Mark Carlis, what would you tell him?
Great question.
He's had all great questions, and all my questions have been not worthy of note. Is that that's okay, it's all right, continue. I'm sorry,
stop being jelly. That's all that problem.
That's all right.
Apparently, I was going to say
a British accent is a good one.
I was just
going
to say all your questions are excellent. His are. I'm just trying to patronize him while I think of an answer.
Okay, sure.
I appreciate your dual purpose.
Yep, no problem. So that's a complicated issue. I'm not sure I have the full answer to that. But I guess my initial thought is, anytime in. A lot of times there's a culture, subcultures within Michigan State that aren't necessarily positive or don't reflect the values that should be Michigan State University. And so I think it has to do a lot with what are the social norms of being a Spartan? What are the values you hold true? And so I think helping students understand what it means to be a Michigan State student, and even if that means going to a football game where we're winning 73-14 and staying till the end, it's still important to know that you are still supporting your team, you're supporting your school when you go there. I think there needs to be a better connectivity between Michigan State and students. We talk about all the time higher education silos when we have different departments doing different things. But how about we have higher education silos of students doing different things with different values? So it's very difficult for students to come together. I mean, if the main goal is winning, then we've already seen that at halftime. But the main goal should be to support your school, to believe that you're doing something great by being a Michigan State student. And so it's really addressing that perception of it. Because it's more important than winning, because a lot of times that's not really even a question when you go to a Michigan State football game. Because that's I think why a lot of people are leaving at halftime. We've already won. There's no more game to see. But that's not the purpose of going.
I just came up with this right now, so it's probably the right answer. But I wonder if I feel I've noticed maybe more stress among students lately, that you know, expectations of class and external obligations that, you know, students tend to be involved in to, you know, kind of help build their career and, you know, give them real meaningful community and that sort of thing while they're here. I wonder if their obligations aren't just more persistent and take too much time. And so, like, you know, even to ask them to be a good member of the MSU community and watch a whole game is, you know, not that they don't want to, but they just feel like worn out, you know, and they want to go home and rest. I don't know.
I think that's actually probably fair. Actually, I think that's a very good statement. One of the things I've tried to work on is mental health here at Michigan State. So, yeah. Excellent point, Ed. There we go. I'll get you the excellent
All right,
there.
One excellent.
Gold star coming.
Cool. Yeah, had to save the best for last. that's probably true. I mean, I tried to touch on that a little bit with the connectivity to campus. Mm-hmm. So it's a shame that students feel like they have too much to do. If that's the case, that they can't go enjoy a football game, or they can't go and spend time feeling connected to it. We're seeing, actually, if you look at I was at the NCHA data release. Were either of you there? I can't recall.
Were you there?
No, I was not.
No. So a lot of the issues we're getting better on, whether it's alcohol use, drug use, sexual health at Michigan State, we're getting better on.
Mm-hmm.
Except for mental health.
Yeah.
That's something that keeps getting worse. Students keep being more stressed, having a loss of connectivity to the university, which makes students feel more stressed and more anxiety as time goes on in their time here. So I think it's really addressing that connectivity to the school and letting them know that MSU is here to support them and that they can succeed through the school. I think something that we don't really think about is alumni don't really get calls for to come and be mentors to students. They get calls to ask for money.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to really even consider that you have a personal relationship with a school when it seems almost financial immediately after you leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would volunteer to be placed on the mentor phone list and taken off of the money phone list.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know who you need to tell about that, but I'll sign any document.
To take you off of one list and put you on another.
To take me off of the money list and put me on the mentor list, yeah. Because those Green Line people are very well trained.
They're aggressive.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm not really sure I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
No, but let's talk after about that, because that's something mm-hmm. I'm trying to do, is to address campus connectivity.
Yeah, and that's certainly, as a community here at the radio station, something that we are, you know, feel like we're working on, you know, all the time to try and do that. And I think we have some success, but, you know, the mental health, we participated in the mental health week as well. We're glad that we were, you know, part of it. And hopefully, I don't know if that's going to be a regular thing, but, you know, I hope that it does continue to be, because I think all signs point to mental health being, you know, mm-hmm. an increasing issue on all college campuses. And it's a weird dual edge of having such tremendous opportunity as a student mm-hmm. today, as mm-hmm. opposed to, you know, probably even 10 years ago. And, you know, maybe the mounting pressure or the perceived pressure that, oh, I got to do it all now, you know, otherwise mm-hmm. I'm going to miss out on these great opportunities. And, you know, I'll have graduated in, you know, 5 or 6 years and you know, kind of lost out on all the things that I didn't choose to participate in. It's what Barry Swartz in the, what is his book? Talk Amongst Yourselves. It's the, it's about having the, how giving students more opportunities, you know, the idea is, well, that would, that makes a better student experience, but it actually, it works in the other direction because everything paradox. You, yeah, it's the paradox of choice, mm-hmm. right?
Becomes overwhelming almost.
Yeah. Everything that you don't, when you choose one thing, you're unchoosing all the other things mm-hmm. basically. And so it becomes debilitating. So, man, that's a tough one to solve.
It is, but I think we can make a lot of progress on it. I mean, with Council graduate students, their new president, Emily Bank, her focus is on health and wellness. RHA, Resident Halls Association, their focus on health and wellness, and ASMSU's focus on health and wellness. So I think this is the year that we can make a lot of progress, find out how to give students resources to succeed, and making sure that they feel connected to this university so they don't feel anxiety every day, they don't feel depressed every day, and they feel like they can succeed because of the university instead of the other way around.
Yeah, that would be great if MSU were known as, you know, the university that you come to and, you know, you feel part of when you leave and you really have that community.
Yeah, I think that's the goal. And so when we touch on things like football games, I mean, it's not really the football game that matters. It's the fact that students don't feel connected, and then they probably are stressed out or anxiety that they have to go do something else that doesn't necessarily involve the university, because it's not... The university has given you so much to do, or that you don't feel like you belong, so you can't be there because you have some other obligation which is causing you to feel stressed to do.
Mm-hmm.
If that made sense.
Yeah, well, I think we've solved all the world's problems.
We have.
Oh, you know, we didn't do cancer. We'll have to come back for another week.
Hey, I used to research cancer.
We just ran out of time.
You have to have me back.
Should we allow James to quickly talk about an event that he brought with us? Would that
yeah, well, let's go first this time.
Oh,
let's model good behavior. I can go first.
Okay.
But I don't know when this will actually get posted, but Friday, October 3rd is College Radio Day. It's a World College Radio Day, and... the day to celebrate college radio. It's also Platter Day, apparently, but we'll be celebrating College Radio Day with a party here. Everyone's invited. And then on Saturday, October 4th, the MSU Organic Farm and the Ecological Food and Farm Stewardship Club are having their Harvest Fest. That's at the MSU Horticulture Farm, which is College Road, 3291 College Road in Holt. And they're going to have, I swear to God, I'm not making this up, on their poster, it says the events are tie-dyeing, face painting, and pumpkin painting, as well as an open mic dancing. And
open mic dancing?
Awesome. I think those are separate things. It's an important distinction. The MSU food truck's going to be there from 12 to 2. There's going to be apple cider pressing.
Nice.
And the final item is cookies with exclamation point.
Ooh, the exclamation point makes it extra special.
Yeah, actually, I skipped over Hayride Farm Tours because of the cookies with the exclamation point kind of made me want to hurry to get to the... but there will be a couple bands, including Genghis Kuhn, Desmond Jones, aforementioned. Nice. They're funky. And then there's the MSU Jazz Band, also aforementioned jazz. So I guess we probably just lost all those people. And Art Cameron, who is folky. And then there will be a jam session at the end, probably without a single... Probably it'll be one long song.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, and I just full disclosure, I hate drum circles. Hate them.
Why do you hate drum circles?
I used to play drums, and I love the idea of everybody getting to jam out on drums. But again, I think I really like structured songs that begin and end.
Sure.
So
yeah, there's been a lot of there's been people playing bongos lately in the co-ops. I've seen them at a couple of them now.
Probably some djembes.
I'm not sure.
Probably. And what's the other one? I think it's called a cajon, where it's like a box that is like has like a snare from a snare drum inside.
I've seen that. The Violent Femmes, when I saw them at Common Grounds,
They had one. Okay.
Yeah, they had a guy playing that.
Cool. Yeah, it's a fine instrument. I'm not cast no aspersions about it, but yeah, it's probably the kind of thing you would find at a drum circle.
Okay. Well, so, very cool.
I'd just like to apologize to National Platter Day for not giving them as much play as I feel like we should have in that mix. I'm very much in favor of platters.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. chicken especially. October the 12th, Lewis Black is coming to the Wharton Center's Cobb Great Hall. MSU students can purchase tickets for $25. Lewis Black is obviously of Daily Show fame mostly, but he's a Grammy Award winner, has about 200 live performances per year. But I'm predominantly interested in this because of the description on the Wharton Center website. They promote that Black will have a cathartic release of anger and disillusionment for his audience. Mm-hmm. And he is more, quote, pissed off optimist than mean-spirited curmudgeon, which is how I would like to be known in the next few years.
I think you're curmudgeonly.
Thank you. That's what I aim for. Yeah. But I don't want to, quote, laugh myself into incontinence, which is what is promised if you go and see Mr. Black perform at the Wharton Center on October the 12th.
I don't know this for a fact, but I think that they will provide a pill to revert you after the show.
I can only hope, but I'm looking forward to that.
And diapers.
So mine is, my event is the fact that voting registration ends in Michigan on October the 6th, which is this Monday. There's an upcoming election, November 4th, where we'll be electing a new governor, a new senator for the first time. Senator Levin will be stepping down. And so we'll be electing a new senator and a new congressman. So Michigan 8 will be now an open seat. We'll be having voter registration events around campus the next several days from 11 to 2 and 5 to 8 at different residence halls, including Shaw, Holmes, and Snyder Phillips. We've registered actually more students this year on campus than we did in 2012, which was a presidential election. So the idea behind us working to get more students registered is that when we go to Washington or if we go to the state capitol, we will be able to do a lot better work on the students' behalf because more students will be affecting elections. We're trying to really address student apathy and get more students out to vote to make a difference in their community. They live 9 months out of the year here. The decisions these people make will affect them mostly in East Lansing. And so we're trying really hard to get students out to vote. So if you're listening to this, October 6th is the final day you can register to vote in Michigan. And the election is on November 4th.
Bang. Well, thank you so much to James Conwell, the president of the Associated Students of Michigan State University, on behalf of myself and my co-sidekick, Stephen Fletcher, who can also say goodbye for himself.
Toodlepip.
I think that was goodbye in British.
And
thanks for being a part of the inauguration.
Hey, thank you for having me be here. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and Stephen and I will be back in approximately... Oh, we're recording next week, aren't we?
Yeah, we are recording next week.
Yeah, well, you don't know when it is because...
This is podcast land.
Yeah, we don't know when this is going up, but definitely stay tuned for our next podcast, which will be after this podcast that you're listening to.
Sequentially.
Yes. So on behalf of the Unnamed Podcast, I'm Ed Glazer.
I'm Stephen Fletcher.
I'm James Conwell.
And you are listening.
Do I have to finish it?
Nope.
Okay.
This is... We can go now.
Okay.
This is the after podcast area.
Okay.